CliffCentral.com.
All right, CliffCentral.com. It is Monday morning. It's the 20th of December. We've got Jaco Voigt hanging out with us, Bulelo, Leanne, and I. Leanne's just in the bathroom at the moment as we're speaking. She just sent me a message to say she's having a bathroom episode. So if you hear any noises going on in the background, that's definitely Leanne. Oh, there we go. She's flushed the loo. Turn off that microphone. Very loud. That toilet's very loud in her house. Have you ever heard such a loud toilet in your life? All right. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Jaco, what are you guys doing for Christmas?
Very boring, Gareth. I'll just at home.
Yeah, but that's lekker. That's exactly what you want to do for Christmas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just at home. Maybe the week after this one, maybe go and find a spot in the bush for a week just to wind down. But this week we still around in Joburg. It's actually not a bad place to be.
I love it. Nice and quiet at this time. Bulelo, I know you love it too. You know, everything's open, but you don't have to wait for anything. It's quiet. There's not so much traffic. You can get where you need to go in the minimum amount of time. It's awesome. That's what makes it exciting. Yeah.
I was going to have lunch with Bulelo, but after this...
No. No,
Transformers story.
Also, yeah, he's so particular. He's so particular about where he eats and what he eats. It's a bit of a nightmare. It's not as bad as what Sia used to.
He's already told me, but there is a place close to me that actually qualifies. So we.
Oh really?
I've crossed that hurdle.
Yes. Oh,
we've discussed this. Yeah.
Oh wow, you found a place. Yeah. Okay, that's very good.
No, well, it's the place I go to where I live. They just happen to also be where Jaco lives, so I'm willing to travel for that.
Okay. All right, very good. What would you...
So apparently all of the Morningside people are coming this side now, regardless of Simpiwe's hatred for Midrand, but apparently all of them are coming here.
Listen, so Midrand has become... there are two different kinds of Midrand, though. You know, there's the very smart Midrand that you're talking about, and then there's that Midrand where it's like, you know, gangster's paradise. And the two kind of live side by side, right? Right, Mbulelo? You've got very strong,
I don't know, I'd never
very
go to
strong
Midrand.
Views in Midrand, yeah. Right?
Well, I wouldn't. I'd never go to Midrand, so I'd have to take your word for it.
But you kind of have to. If you're going to go to a Jaco, that's Midrand, right?
Well, what I'll do is I'll instruct my Uber to stick sort of northern suburbs side till I can get into where Jaco lives. But, right. But no. In all honesty, there are two worlds there. There's the guys who have garden furniture as the home and own a Golf 7, which is what everybody always jokes about. So when you hear Simpiwe say that Midrand life, she means the guy whose car is more expensive than his rent every month. Yeah, that's also a real thing. So it's a wild world out there. Midrand, sure, different people.
That's
those people.
That's definitely not. That's definitely not the Midrand that Jaco's talking about. I mean, we've done this episode is because we've talked to the guys at Waterfall Estate, for example, which is probably one of the smartest places in South Africa. Is that technically Midrand, Jaco? Is Waterfall in Midrand?
Well, I think it is. Yes.
Yeah. I think so too.
It is a bit of a bubble, but I mean the postal code says Midrand.
Yeah,
so,
telling you. Yeah. That's right. You guys.
But it is a bubble. I frequent the Waterfall borders, if we want to call it that.
Right. I want to go and fetch something to show you. Can you talk among yourselves for a little bit, and I'll be back in a second. I want to go and get something to show you quickly for the show this morning. Give me a second.
Sure. It's a show and tell.
Show and tell.
What could it be? Hopefully it's something like your sex box.
Yeah, it's an enormous dildo.
Dildo's always going to get a crack.
What's that?
What?
No, well, dildo will always get a reaction. Jaco, yeah. So you didn't expect that... this early in the morning, you'd be hearing about dildos. But I think that's one that's always going to be funny, you know? Like if somebody pulls out a dildo, no matter whether at a corporate office or just at a Christmas party, a dildo always gets a, that's good. That's funny, that.
Yeah. What could be happy?
What's that, Jaco?
Gets pulled out at a Christmas party? What?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, different people have different levels of fun, you know. Some people, like Leanne just said, could be a puppy, could be a dildo. You know, you want to leave yourself open to that entire spectrum of gift giving. You'd hate to.
I did it in my younger years when I was working at Vox. It was early in the morning, before 8, and I was on the phone to my mother, and I was explaining to her what a dildo is, and then everybody at work was going, and they're like, who have you just been talking to? And I go, no, it's my mother. And then they go, like, can't believe that you explained to your mother. Anyway, I go, well, you know, she's a cat.
But surely,
what can we do?
Surely your mum should have been explaining to you what a dildo is.
Yeah, but she's a catman. She grew up in the church, so yeah, she didn't go to those kind of Christmas parties.
She didn't have those Tupperware parties.
I also feel I missed out, but anyway, maybe in the new year when Corona is not such big a concern, we're going to see what happens at Cliff Central.
Yeah. More of those kinds of parties.
Here we go. Yep. This is these are things. So a friend of mine had these made for the Christmas party. I don't know if you can see this properly. It's a Gareth Cliff cookie, but then look at this one. A Carl.
Oh, see, it was a puppy. I was right.
It's a Carl
okay,
cookie.
Good.
Isn't that nice?
So she had that very cool there.
So she made like 20 of each, and now I'm going to give them away as Christmas presents. So I'll leave one for you, Yaku. I'll leave it for you at the office.
So was Carl going to come and join us at the party or not?
Which one? The one that we were going to have, but we cancelled because of Corona?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I probably would have brought him. Yeah, he's come to the office a few times.
Okay, but let's do a January one. In your absence now, we decided it sounds like Mbulelo and Leanne's got some ideas. So
really?
We should definitely have it. Yes.
Yeah. We'll surprise you.
You can bring your puppy, and then I don't know what else is going to pop up.
Yeah, we've got the rest covered. It's
well, everybody else. It's not everybody else can bring.
We're not bringing puppies.
Everybody else can bring children or whatever else. By the way, people are asking, Mbulelo, did you wear track pants to the wedding? That's very important. Did you wear the track pants?
I did not.
I did not. What did you wear?
Yeah, I did. I wore an Italian tailored suit.
Jesus.
Blue. Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're going to do something, do it properly.
Right.
My first time in like 18 years wearing a suit. But yeah, no, I had a blue suit tailored. And I look, because I'm in great shape, I look great in clothes anyway. You know.
Don't you have a photo of that? Why did you not share that with us?
I did put a photo on social media, but... You know, I'm not that guy. But I did look very good, I must say.
You didn't see? Here's Mbulelo in his suit with his visor. Ready, Montage, look.
That's quite
so anyway, listen, when it comes to Christmas shopping, because that's also something I still have to finish off this week, I've got to buy presents for the two nephews. Because really, it's for the kids. I'm not really buying too many things for adults for this Christmas at all. I think it's a bit of a waste of time and money. When do you do yours? Do you do it weeks before? Yaku, when do you start with Christmas shopping?
Yeah, she's putting me on the spot.
Come on.
There's none of that, Gareth.
None. Zero. You don't do any presents?
None. And guys.
Really?
Nothing. Nothing.
Love it.
Nothing. That's
so what? Nobody in your life gets gifts, Yaku?
Except the gift of me. No.
Love it.
Wow.
Yeah, we've got one child in the family.
Oh, okay.
So. Huh. Someone will be getting lots of gifts, but definitely not the adults.
You don't do any gifts at all. You don't think that's a little
the
bit.
The problem is if you when you do that 1 year and you go through a bit of effort, then you've got to keep it up, you know. So it becomes like a like a yearly thing.
Yeah. Okay. Listen.
Yeah, and then people start having expectations.
It's kind of nice. Come on. It's Christmas. I hate that you and Mbulelo sound like such Scrooge McDucks here. It's like, or rather, Scrooges from the Christmas Carol. What was it? Yeah, Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, right? Was it him or was it? It was Charles Dickens. So, you know, the old man who's just bah humbug about Christmas the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I even if you give someone a cheap little shit gift, isn't that better than not doing gifts at all? Or is this just a Yaku and Bulelo rule that you two don't?
Yeah, but you can let one skip one. You just, like just as long as people don't know what to expect.
Huh.
Okay. Maybe this year, maybe next year. Who knows?
All right, I kind of like it. It's one of my favorite things to buy people gifts, and then hopefully they really like them. I mean, that's the whole reason you do it, right? You're not just buying them a gift for the sake of buying them a gift. You're buying the thing that they'll really like. I always end up buying too many presents for people because I like it so much.
Oh wow.
Hmm. Yeah.
Setting an example for us.
Sorry. Ruining it for some people by the sound of things. Bhavesh says, yes. Reason number 42,069 why Yaku is so lekker. See, this guy really is, he thinks you're just like the perfect person, clearly. Christmas presents are for children, full stop, says Peter. Oh, all right.
I totally agree with that. I'm sorry, Gareth, I have to tell you, like, why does anybody over 30 need a gift? Like, why aren't you working?
Come on. Come on, really?
Oh, that's funny.
My friend, listen to this, Enon is God, says, my friend broke into my house and put up a Christmas tree with presents. I almost called the cops on him. How dare he? I trusted him with a key to my house. Some people don't.
No, look, Gareth, okay. I'm totally with you. Mm. If I...
Elon sounds like my type of person.
When I have money, I love spending money on gifts for people.
Absolutely.
So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, I feel like it's just a fun part of the year, and that's what makes it exciting. But there are lots of people who just don't have the Christmas thing going on, and that's fine. I mean, if that's not what you do, then that's not what you do. Doesn't bother me.
No, but it is fun. The fun part is spending time with the loved ones. I don't know what the gift thing has to do with any of the fun, though, is what I'm saying. I love the spending time. And I honestly, Gareth, it has been infectious how you think about this part of the year, and it's made me more active about spending. But I want to spend time with loved ones.
Okay.
Let's leave the gift thing out. I don't know why that's – why is that a part of it?
I get it. Hey, we all have different stuff we're
going
for.
I love the idea of random gifts. So when you go out for lunch with a friend or whatever, and they've seen something they've thought of that you would like, and they've brought it with them, or they've come to your house, and because they're coming to your house, they bring you something nice. Mm. I like those ideas.
I mean, like these little cookies that I've got now. I'm thrilled with these things. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to
see. Then it's random. It's not expected. You don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, and also I do get what you're saying about spending time with loved ones. That's always the fun thing too. Is like, you know, those nights where you will go for family dinners or whatever, and you won't have to leave because you've got work the next morning. So you'll stay and have like coffee and talk some shit and laugh about, like, you know, the Christmases that you've already had together and some of the funny people that you've met and some of the stuff that's happened. That's always fun. I like that. I like spending
time.
You've
become quite nostalgic, Gareth. I honestly didn't picture you for that.
No, I love this stuff. Yaku, I've always been big on Christmas. Huh?
It's and like Boney M in the background or what is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's always Boney.
100%.
But you know what also happens to me is
I
love listening to Christmas music at this time of the year. It's the only time I listen to it, obviously, because the rest of the year it bothers you. And you're like, what the hell's this song doing on? And it shouldn't come up in the playlist anyway. But Christmas music is a huge thing for me, and then I go on YouTube and I find the best version of certain Christmas songs. Like I was listening to a version of O Holy Night the other day by Luciano Pavarotti and Jose Domingo. They did it at some...
Yikes!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is back in, I don't know, 2002 or something when Pavarotti was still alive. And I listened to him singing that. Jesus, that guy could sing, hey? Wow! I mean, he was big and fat, but man, could he sing.
Oh, Lord.
No, he stands up.
Both those things are true.
He stands up on stage. So obviously, Domingo's playing the warm-up act role, because Pavarotti's the main event, right? But they're both on stage together. So Domingo opens up, and he sings the first verse and the first chorus, and you're like, wow, that's pretty good. And then... Then Pavarotti's like, he switches on those pipes, man, and he rips
a new one.
But he's trying to, some of the songs he would sing English, but he never really spoke any English, so he would learn phonetically how to make it sound like English. So he goes, "Oh, holy night." But he's not really, he doesn't know what "Oh, holy night" means. To him, it may as well be like "the dog is on fire" or your grandmother looks like shit or whatever it is. So he doesn't know what he's singing. And then he often will say, I think that the line he goes with is, "Star brightly shining." And then he hits that chorus, man, and you're like, wow, that's amazing. This guy has such pipes. Yes. So it just made me happy. And then I'll listen to these massed choirs. Like they used to do these big Christmas shows pre-corona. And I suddenly thought, I hope we'll get back to a stage one day where we can get like a massed choir together and they can sing and not have to wear those Guede Montashe face masks I just showed you. And we'll be able to hear them properly. And they get them
hopefully
all to sing.
Hopefully next year.
And they get them to sing like, "O Come All Ye Faithful," but in Latin. Oh, man, it's beautiful. I could listen to that shit all day at this time of year. Any other time of the year?
Speaking of which.
No. Sure.
Fascinating.
Let me tell you something. I'm not into it. André Rieu comes back to South Africa ever again. I recommend everybody or anywhere in the world, go and watch that. And I'm not into that whole thing. A friend of mine took me there. I was like, this is going to be terrible. I actually hate the stuff. I can't even stand the theater. This is going to be, I'm going to fall asleep. Oh, my God. André Rieu is
really
the one of the wildest experiences I've ever had in my life.
I've never heard anyone use the term André Rieu and wild in the same sentence. That's amazing. Really?
Do you know, he takes his own stage, so there's planes to take his own stage around the world. So it was at Monte Cassino. Next time when we can kiss, I recommend that.
What's his thing again? He does the classical music, right? And the Christmas music.
Yeah.
That's his thing.
Yeah. But it's another level of production and just it's a real it's a real experience. There's very few things like an André Rieu performance, and I will never forget that. And I hate that kind of thing. But now next time he comes, I'm there because we might never get to kiss again if we get Omicron round two.
So
I feel I lost out a bit. I normally ended up in Hartenbosch listening to Good Darren or something. So
that's close. That's close.
I feel like Corona has now taken more away from me than I thought.
Yeah, you see, because you can't have that Kurt Darren song playing that you love so much.
But I want more now. I want more now. I don't want that anymore. I'm sure that's happening in Hartenbosch this year as well.
Hartenbosch. Listen, we'll talk about Hartenbosch in a second because I've got to ask you something about that. That's like deep Afrikaner knowledge that no one else in the country knows about, Hartenbosch. I don't even know where that is on a map, but we'll talk about that in a second. My mother loves this André Rieu guy that Bolelo's talking about now. I didn't know who he was, and frankly, I'm still not entirely sure who he was. Like, if he pitched up in front of me, I wouldn't necessarily recognize him.
Is he a young dude?
Is he?
No. Listen, after the show, if you're listening, after the show, do yourself a favor. Fortuna. André Rieu. I'll leave it at that. Okay. And just see that performance. There's only one. I think it was in Austria or whatever. And that's exactly what it was like here. Nearly brought me to tears. I haven't cried in years. Unbelievable. This
is guy. He Austrian?
I don't know.
Let's look him up. Dutch. He's Dutch. He's a Dutch violinist and conductor. Best known for creating the waltz playing Johann Strauss Orchestra.
Oh, no, why is his hair like that?
Let me put up a picture. I'll put up a picture.
I was hoping he was going to be, like, quite hot.
He's Dutch, isn't he?
No, he's Dutch.
Yeah.
Leanne likes the Dutch. She's got Dutch family.
Yeah, I do.
Here he is. This is André Rieu, guys. That's what he looks like.
Oh, I had, like, a bit of a fantasy going on in my head. It's a bit spoiled.
But for like, an older...
It's not Justin Bieber.
For an older guy, he doesn't look too bad. What's wrong with him? What did you think you think he was going to be, like, a hottie?
Like Zac Efron?
Well, no, like I want to say Michael Bublé, but he's not that hot, but certainly better looking.
You don't like this look.
And he does better tricks than Bublé. Like, Bublé has to be on produced music albums.
Leanne, I hate to break it to you, but the André Roux look is kind of the age group you and I have to start moving into now.
Oh, God.
I hate to break it to you, but that's kind of where we're headed.
Right. And usually I'm all for it.
Gareth, what is the female version of that?
Oh, probably, who was I talking to over the
Miriam
weekend?
Miriam Margoyles.
Margoyles. Margoyles, is that how you say it? Is it Margulies? I can't What's, who's that again?
You remember her.
Miriam.
She now on, she's on TikTok.
Oh, God. Okay, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Miriam Margulies, or...
Margulies, yes.
Okay, hang on. Find a picture of her. Show everybody.
In her TikTok videos, she'll sometimes just put up a random video of her farting.
Farting. That's a class act. She's great.
Is that the one that was in The Good Wife, or...?
No.
Let me show you who she is. I'll put up a picture of her. Is this who you say, this is like the female version of André Roux that I need to be looking for while you're looking for André Roux? Is that what you're saying, Leanne? Here she is. Look, that's Miriam Margulies.
Crikey.
Crikey.
I like that Yakuza's crikey.
Huya Canada.
You don't like that?
What?
She's so hot.
Now, Yaku, you can see, you can feel the disappointment in my cis female mind.
For André Roux.
Yeah. I think André Roux got a bit of a bad deal there.
I think so.
And I think that you were a bit harsh towards him.
I agree. All right. So
I'm not on TikTok or any of those kind of things. So, I don't know. I saw Flex is some other TikTok ambassador or some...
Flax, Michael Flax. Yeah, he knows all this stuff. Flax was... He used to work for Snapchat. Now he works for TikTok. The guy's moving around. I mean, he really is. He's on top of his game off. Flax.
Listen, you can do a whole show on what people call themselves on their LinkedIn titles, but I had to message him and say, what is a TikTok representative or... I don't know. Something I've never heard of that in my life. It's
really?
It's bizarre.
Okay, so, but listen, I mean, most people's business cards these days doesn't tell you a damn thing about what they do, right? They've all got such long titles, and everybody has a fancy title. So instead of being, like, made, it now says Chief Vice President of Domestic Affairs, Third Floor, or whatever. You know what I mean?
Or EMEA, or something like that,
Yeah, correct.
You've got to put the region or the country in it as well.
Right. EMEA means... What is that? The Europe, Middle East, and Africa, right?
Middle East and Africa,
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so let's just
Then you can get MER with R at the end, and then they call it in Russia to the mix as well.
Oh, wow, okay. MER.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about this quickly, Yaku, because you brought it up. You said Hartenbos just now. Now, I've never been to Hartenbos. I have no idea of what...
You've never been there.
Never been there.
I think I've been there.
You have, Leanne.
How did that happen?
How did they let you in?
It just rings a bell. I want to hear more from you.
You speak English.
Were
it's
you
impossible.
Lost or what happened?
There's no way you were invited to Hartenbos. How did that happen?
Listen, I was a Rao child, so it's highly possible.
Really? You went to Hartenbos and I still haven't been invited? And I've got Afrikaans family.
Maybe
I'm
I
not sure if Leanne was invited. I'm sure that was by accident. Maybe
I think so too.
Stopped. Yeah, they've got a petrol garage and a Wimpy right at the entrance. So in case you lost, you can eat and duck again. So
like a U-turn.
No, there's people. Look, I mean that's staunch. There's people that go there. They've been holidaying there at the same camping spot for the past 20 years. There's people that it's a big thing. It's even that it's staunch Afrikaans that. And
right.
There's they used to have a entertainment called the Vaarpad Spiele, which they had a pad barn that looked like that mimicked the Groot Trek. So you had to hit your golf ball over the Drakensberge. It doesn't exist anymore, but it's
that was a thing.
And in trampolines, that was
How do you get?
How do you get? It's a town in the Western Cape. and it's 45 kilometers outside Ghor.
Oh, okay. Yes. So in other words, if you have money, you'll land at George Airport and you will turn right as if you're going towards Mosselbaai, right?
Yeah, it's Mosselbaai. It's okay. Just outside Mosselbaai, yeah.
And if
you're going there, you will not be landing at Ghor Airport. You'll be towing your caravan there.
So. Caravan, gotcha.
Yeah, you cannot fly into Hartenbos. That doesn't work like that.
Okay, Hartenbos. Now, yeah. While we're talking about these places that are exclusively Afrikaans, even in the year 2021, I've heard of Strysbaai and Buffelsbaai and Hentiesbaai and all of these places that are also like off limits for people like me who speak English, definitely for people like Mbulelo and probably for people like Leanne, even if she sneaks in. Are those also nearby?
Hentiesbaai is not. Hentiesbaai is at West Coast, up West Coast.
Oh, okay.
Strysbaai is on the other side of Mosselbaai towards Cape Town. Buffelsbaai is towards Knysna, to the other side.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Well, but listen, I mean, they have their own little subcultures. I mean, even me, when I walk into maybe Buffelsbaai or whatever, people will look at me strange. It's like in the beginning of the year, when it was raining a lot, I said to Anita, let's go and look what Grobbies looks like. Because, you know, it hasn't been that cool in like 20 or 30 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we ended up at a place, I keep on forgetting it, Lake, I call it Lake Placid, but it's not, it was something Lake Grappa.
Oh yes?
Lake Grappa outside of Grobbies. I'll tell you, Anita and I walked in there, and the people were sitting looking at us like, where have you aliens came from?
So, there's
subcultures inside the culture.
So,
and then I met a guy there by the name of Frikkie who's got a salt mine. I kid you not.
A salt mine. Wow.
Yes.
But that's,
he said, tomorrow when you leave, swing past Uppington, and I've got a 50 kg bag of salt for you.
Oh, nice. Like,
thank you. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. It's
50 like, kgs of salt.
Yes.
Yeah, it's to store meat in the wall. Yeah, listen. So you got to store your meat in the wall.
That scene.
You're preserving whales.
Where you described walking into this place and people looked at you like an alien always makes me think of those Western movies. You know, where the saloon doors open up and like you walk in and everybody stops.
It was like that.
They stop what they're doing. The guys like take their cigarettes out of their mouth. They put their drinks down and they look at you as you walk through the door. And then the music stops.
I think it was mostly because we were wearing our masks, and everybody else was going there like, why are you wearing a mask? What's wrong with you? So,
oh, wow, that's amazing.
But it didn't have been quite a lucky day. But yeah, Hartenbos is a little bit like that. It's good people, very good people.
So here's Hein. Hein says, kom Jaku, I'm in Hartenbos.
Hey, klop al lekker.
There we go.
And also, I'll have you know that I cracked an invite from Hein.
Really?
He said that I would be welcome there.
Wow, look at that. Hartenbos is the drinking capital of Mosselbaai. Durban is the Ibiza of Boksburg. Jesus, people are rude. Wow, okay.
That's funny.
That's nice and rude.
That is funny.
All right, well, listen, Jaku, it's been good to hang with you this morning. And happy Christmas. I hope that we're going to see more of each other in the new year. And keep us informed as to what's going on. Of course, your show is still on tomorrow. And then you're also going to take a break. Are you back in the first week of January or the second?
I think probably the first. We'll just do a recap of sort of what the year looks like, and then from the second week we'll be properly back and firing.
Excellent.
And Gareth, from that perspective, you know, seeing that we're in this Christmassy mood, I've got to say I really enjoyed working with you and your team. Your people have been great. It's actually been like I said to you, I Tuesday when I go to the studio is probably my favorite day of the week. And everybody as strange as they are, I really enjoy working with them, and thank you for that. It's been a life-altering experience.
Oh, that's awesome. I love hearing it. Thanks so much, man. And obviously, we love having you around. And you come into the office, so you know how crazy all the people are. They're all completely mentally unstable. But, you add a bit of stability to the place, so we're thrilled to have you there.
It's always a chapter for my book for one day, you know. So I enjoy
it. Love it.
Mbalelo aids me in terms of extracting information out of people that they that they shouldn't be sharing. So, yeah, it's fun.
All right, man. We'll speak to you soon. Thanks so much, Jaco.
Thank you very much.
Cool.
Have a good day.
Thank you. There's Jaco Voigt. We'll check in with him again soon, and he's on his own show tomorrow morning. Make sure you don't miss it. It's Unbundled, and he's, of course, the CEO of Catalytic, among other things. It is time for a little collectomania this morning. This is my favorite thing about a Monday, and we decided, because, you know, collectomania has now been going for a couple of months, and we've met so many amazing people from, you know, various places with various collections. This is the last edition of Collectomania for the year, so we decided that we're going to get all Christmassy, not like Jasmine Mulholland's crazy collection of Christmas decorations. No, we're going to chat to Rael Demby, who's, of course, from the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. So here he is, and he's here to join us this morning. Hey, Rael, how's it going, man?
Hey, what's up? How are you?
Good.
How's it, everybody?
That is a beautiful background you've got going on over there. Are you on holiday, or is that your garden?
No, we made our way to Cape Town last week, and we caught the breeze, and we caught the COVID. I'm COVID positive, and my whole family too.
So we are just
enjoying the outdoors, and it's good. I hope you can all hear me okay.
Yeah, perfectly.
But it's better than being inside.
Listen, you said you're COVID positive, the whole family, but is anyone really sick, or is it just like having a cold?
We all pretty sick, but it is like a bad cold.
Okay.
Thank God we all okay. Just checking in, and we all okay for now. But it was just like one after the other, dominoes. And yeah, that's it. What can you do? So now we got it. We almost finished, and then we can go out and sniff and lick everything and for a few months.
It's so gross.
I know. But let's just talk about Collectomania. We've had an incredible year on the show, and just so many amazing people, so many interesting collections. I mean, I've learned things that I never thought I would learn. People who collect bullets from the Anglo-Boer War. People who collect plastic containers and plastic apes, people who collect coins, people who collect weapons, people who collect Lego men. It's endless, this thing. And I want to bring it back to what you guys do, because there are so many South Africans. And, you know, a collection is great, but a collection that's actually going to grow in value is even better than that. And you guys, obviously, at the Scoin Shop and the South African Gold Coin Exchange, you have a bunch of ideas. People are looking for things to buy for Christmas, so let's go through some of the things in the catalog that we haven't had time for this year. Things that are for sale that you guys have in the Scoin Shop that we may be interested in, because there are many of us who are looking for things to buy for Christmas. What ideas do you have?
Yeah, so I'll just reiterate, the purpose of the show was to celebrate the idea of collecting in any form. It's been brilliant for the last, it's almost 9 months, I think. And what we've seen is just so many more people coming out with their collections. We're really looking forward to next year as well. And what we see is that people usually start with one thing. They get something inherited, or they can only afford something small, or they find something at a little antiques fair, and it sort of gets them into the groove. And that's what we try to do in the coin game is, you know, you don't need to look at coins as this super expensive hobby or something that's
sure.
for rich people living in a castle. You know, you can get brand new modern collectible coins, silver or gold, but, you know, start something new, and Christmas is a good time for giving to youngsters, and maybe giving yourself something small. So we can celebrate some of these coins that we've launched this year that are really not crazy expensive, but it gets you going.
Okay.
I don't know if you've got some picks or something,
yeah, of course.
But, you know, we...
All right, let's look at a few of these, because obviously we go straight to gold, but as you say, silver is a great thing. And if you buy it, people think you've got to buy these for older people. You just said now, if you buy it for the kids now, it becomes an investment thing. And later on, they've got a Kruger Rand, or they've got a silver coin, or they've got something else. Let's start with this one, though. This doesn't look like it's gold or silver. And this is to commemorate the Battle of Britain. What is that made of?
Yeah. So that is half an ounce of pure gold. It's a superb coin that was launched a couple of years ago, but was reintroduced in our From the Vault campaign, where we bring out coins from the vault. Somebody maybe sold it a long time ago. Maybe we found one that we hadn't sold yet. And, you know, this is a superb coin for anyone who enjoys British politics or history or the story of war. The British Royal Mint comes out with coins all the time, even the South African Mint, celebrating the victories of the wars. Obviously, there was a lot of heartache and death, but there was also a lot to celebrate. Mm. There were coins with poppies on them. There were coins with a landmark D-Day, not bombing sites, not anything really ugly, but more about the victory of these milestones. Mm. I mean, a coin like this could be 40,000 rand, so I would put this in the top category. But again, that's like something nice and special if you believe in it, if you love it. So
Absolutely. Maybe
let's get to something a little cheaper.
Okay. Before we do that, I just want to read a comment here that because we had this on the show the other day. Bhavish says, I've got to say the Homer Simpson coin is pretty special. We had that on when we were talking just last week, actually, to Paolo, and he collects Simpsons memorabilia. And that Homer Simpson coin is amazing. I didn't know that people were making fun stuff like that. I thought it always had to be serious things, like the Battle of Britain, for example.
Exactly. Exactly. That's one of the things that I've been doing, taking over from the business, is trying to make collecting, or gold in general, a little bit more fun and exciting.
Right.
And, you know, we don't make the coins. We source these coins. This coin was made by the Perth Mint last year, and there was an entire range of licensed gold and silver coins from the Simpsons family. Right. And there's so much more wild, colorful coins coming out these days. If you have Simpsons, get the coin. You don't need to be a coin person to get the Simpson coin.
What's this one?
And
here?
There's one.
What's this over here? This is a Republic of Cameroon, 2,000 francs. Wow. What is that?
So I'll explain that side of the coin. But do you have a picture of the other side?
Let me
it's a Mount Everest coin.
Here we are. Are you talking about this one here? No.
So that was the Royal Canadian Mint. That was the, what's the beach? Juno Beach.
Norman Landing. The Normandy Landings, yeah.
Yeah. So this was a tremendous story. And the British, the Canadian Mint was able to create coins with a different type of minting strategy. As the past, you just smack down a coin and you can really just get like a 2D type of thing. They're able to mint coins like in greater detail, in 3D. You can zoom in and see a little cathedral or the little men or the soldiers on the beach. I mean, and that's the beauty of it. This was a massive 5 kilogram silver coin that was sold out in a couple of days. But again, it was special to the people who like that kind of thing.
That's
going back to that that Cameroon coin, the front of it, this one. This is Mount Everest, and again, they used the 3D imprints of the top layer of the Mount Everest to build this upwards trajectory of a coin. But just a quick thing for everybody. The reason why some coins will be done by the Republic of Cameroon is it gives you the ability to turn it into a coin.
Right.
Because if it has a numeric face value like 2,000 francs and it's part of a a sovereign nation, usually the coin would be with the queen on the back.
Right.
The queen would, that turns it into a coin. So the front might be like a really cool thing, like a Homer Simpson or something cool, but the back would actually be of the queen's face. And that's why they do that, is because it creates a, it's called sovereignty. It creates it into an actual coin. But this coin was another silly but fun idea, really cool story, and we sold it out pretty quickly. And I don't think there's any more of these for sale.
That is really a cool story. That's an amazing. If you look at the picture on the right, if you're watching the show on YouTube this morning, you'll see that the relief actually is of the structure of Mount Everest. You can actually see in relief what Mount Everest looks like in 3D. It's absolutely incredible. All right, so tell us about this one here. This is the famous painting of the girl with the pearl earring. It's Van Eck, I think, who painted it. So what is this all about?
Nice pronunciation. Good. You know, the Paris Mint, Monet de Paris, has an amazing relationship with the Louvre. The Paris Mint is the oldest living business in the world, founded in 400 and something AD. No business gets to put AD behind their business. So they were able to replicate these incredible coins using the artworks that were in the Louvre themselves. So it was Vermeer, actually, painted this.
That's correct. Quite right.
And this came out earlier this year, celebrating this. It was also a new type of minting process where the frame was minted and the inside was printed on like a very special type of printing. This comes in a 0.5 kilogram of silver. Super different, and you know, now you're owning a piece of art as well as the coin itself, the silver. So another successful launch. We got a few of these left. Something really special for an art lover.
What would that cost if I bought that from you guys?
This is 30,000 buckaroos. I need to check with my sales manager. 37,000 for a 0.5 kilogram.
Wow.
So it's expensive in relation to silver. But maybe something to bring up again is that coins have an intrinsic metal value, right? A matchbox doesn't. A spider might not. I don't want to knock any other collectibles, but there's always this underlying value in the metal itself. But that special, the limited edition, they made a few hundred of these, or maybe the story itself. And also the mint has to charge a premium. The buyer has to charge a premium, and the final seller. So that's why people say, well, why don't I just buy regular silver Krugerrands? Why do I have to go and spend a lot more? Well, the whole thing is that it is a collectible, and you can buy a Krugerrand. You can buy a bullion, regular gold or silver, or you can buy something a little bit more special and build a collection of both.
I love that you can get the actual work of art in a silver frame, and it's a piece of solid silver. So there's obviously you know, the real value of it, the intrinsic value of it, and then there's the beautiful. I mean, that's the kind of thing you would want to put on display. You'd want to kind of have that in a little on a shelf and have people see it. It's gorgeous. I love that the most. That's my favorite thing that you guys have got at the moment. All right, let's look at one other thing here, because we mentioned the silver coin. What are you guys selling a silver Krugerrand for at the moment, a 1 ounce silver Krugerrand?
So this could be, under 1,000 rand for a silver Krugerrand. It's a great place to start. Put it in the stocking, give it to a kiddie and start the accumulation program, you know, every month or every year. Just something else. And in America, there's this thing called stacking. It's this crazy obsession of stacking the coins on top of each other, but it represents like collecting silver and gold in mass quantities. There's a lot of anarchists and sort of Armageddon types of guys.
Preppers.
Say the end is coming, and under their attics they're keeping all the silver and the gold, because ultimately it could be the only form of money that left. I don't know in this modern world if that's possible with even technology and cryptocurrency, but if you really think about it, if one day there's nothing but the coins in your pocket and you mm-hmm. need a cow or you need a,
yeah.
I don't know if the whole world's going to explode like that, but you know what I'm saying. People do that. But, you know, we want to also get back to the good stories of collectibles in general and how some of them have actually done tremendously well this year. Mm. I got a list of some collectibles that went on sale this year. Yep. I don't know if I can tell you.
Let's have a look.
There was a Pokemon card that was sold for $180,000. There was a baseball card that was sold for $6.6 million.
Wow.
There was a Patek Philippe Grandmaster clock that was on auction and was sold for $31 million.
My God.
There was a double eagle, which is like the most popular American gold coin, 1933 gold coin that was sold for just under $19 million. And the last thing was an NFT that was sold earlier this year. The most famous one, or the first ever one, which was Beeple's NFT of the history of all of his art, was sold for $69 million.
Wow.
So, you know, there's investing, there's bonds, there's stocks, there's all of these cool things. But look, all of those items there were cards, coins, a couple of tiny things. And obviously the NFT thing is a totally different discussion. But collecting is about the love of it. But yeah, there are still people making absolute bombs of it on the side. And there is this amazing idea of value building over time. And, you know, I mean, an NFT for $69 million is just
crazy.
Outrageous.
It is crazy. So talk to us quickly, because we mentioned the silver Krugerrand here, but obviously the gold Krugerrand. Now, this is the big daddy for anyone who's collecting gold and is worried maybe that, you know, eventually we're going to have to abandon currencies, or we're going to live in this crazy world where only gold will buy you things. There are people who like to have a little bit of gold, because obviously investment value over time has been tremendous for gold. And the longer you take that timeline, the more valuable the gold is. But what is a Krugerrand worth at the moment? Do you know offhand, Rael?
Yeah. So a 1 ounce Krugerrand, which is the mothership, the main one, is 31,000 rand today.
Hmm.
In 1967, it was the first one was ever created, and that was sold for 27 rand.
Wow.
And now today, 31,000. Earlier this year, Krugerrand was 26, 27. Last year, during the peak of COVID, unfortunately, a Krugerrand was 37,000. So it's really dipping and diving. But, you know, when in doubt, zoom out. Just look at the bigger picture and see if you just keep buying a little bit of gold every month, every year, in the grand picture, you'll say, holy moly, look what I got. I got 20 ounces of gold, and now an ounce of gold is 50,000 rand each. That could happen very soon. If the rand weakens to the dollar, then the gold price in rands will go up.
Yeah.
That's what a rand hedge is. And if the price in gold goes up as well because of inflation, because the Americans are just printing money, because of all kinds of funny things, these two elements can grow gold in north of 50,000 for a Krugerrand in the next couple of years. But 1/10 Krugerrand today is 3,600 rand. It's the beginning point. It's a 1/10. It's easy to start, easy to get into.
That's a great idea. So you don't have to start off by outlaying all this capital, even though, I mean, you'd rather have a Krugerrand in gold than you would probably a rand, because we know what currencies are, you know, susceptible to. Governments make good and bad decisions all the time, but gold is at least something which the market has been a little bit more kind to than any of these currencies. And as you also mentioned, the Americans are printing money left, right, and center, and inflation is a real thing. And gold is a good hedge against inflation. So let's just talk, while we're talking about gold, here's a Mandela coin. This is very cool. Yeah. This is a 2013 Nelson Mandela Foundation South African coin. Tell us about this quickly.
So over the past 25 years, there have been a really a huge amount of different coins and medallions launched by the South African Mint, the Mint of Norway, and these coins represent the greatest leader of our time. And there were many different versions of these coins that celebrated milestones and events and parts of his life. And this is one of these coins, this South African Mint coin. One of our staff actually loved this coin because of what it represented to them. But you've got coins, the Robben Island. We came out with a coin. We launched a coin that had a picture of Robben Island with a piece of the fence of Robben Island connected to it.
Wow.
You know, then there was coins from Lily's Leaf Foundation, or there was a coin, I mean, every milestone in his life was created and commemorated and put in coins. And, you know, for anyone who says, why don't I just rather buy a Kruger Rand? Well, you could. But, I mean, these are super special. Yeah. They represent the greatest leader of our generation. And these will continue to flourish and grow as long as gold grows in value, as long as his legacy is continuing. We're very proud of every coin we've ever sold. Some maybe we sold lots of them, and maybe somebody said, but I want to sell it now. I want a quick buck.
Sure.
And we all know that there's no such thing as a overnight success with this. There's no such thing as a guaranteed huge growth and investment. This is a long-term hold where you accumulate beautiful coins over the years.
That's absolutely amazing. How many different kinds of coins do you guys actually sell in the coin shop and at the Gold Coin Exchange?
So I was doing some year-end reporting, and I found that we launched about 80 coins this year.
Phenomenal.
From different countries and relaunched from the past. But we've sold to hundreds of thousand clients, maybe over probably over 5,000 unique coins over our 50-year history.
That's absolutely amazing.
You know, there's old coins, new coins, medallions, brand new things. It just keeps coming up. And unfortunately, it's something to point out, is often people come knock on the door in our shop and say, you know, here's a 5 rand coin. What can I get for it? I don't know if any of you have heard it, but we say it's worth $5. You can go buy some chips or go to the shops. And that's because it became such a big thing that these 5 rand coins were huge and tremendous in value. But that's because of all of the other coins around it that celebrated Mandela. And those are worth 5 rand. But there are felt punts and Sammy Marks tickies and double shaft, single shaft, you know, the old money, the shillings from the 1890s. And these coins we sell for $1 million or $1 million. There's sets of coins with such tremendous value, but with a gold value of maybe $5,000. But they're worth R1 million in coin value.
I mean, they're two different things we're talking about here. There's the gold price, which obviously is for any kind of gold. But then there's also the way that this thing was minted, where it comes from, how old it is, how rare it is. All of these things come into play. And people obviously think that they've got something of value, but you don't really know until you have it actually valued.
Yeah. And you can come to us anytime. We help you out. We have a coffee. Maybe we can start taking in the 5 rands and giving you a packet of chips. We can do it ourselves. you know, we want people to collect. But also the fun thing about that is a lot of guys will walk around with this in their pocket and come in and say, how much is this worth? There's this inkling that something in their pocket could be worth more.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And that's fine. And imagine building that legacy for your children. You know, we've seen people with inheritance this year. They've brought us, 50 Kruger Rands that their grandfather bought for 25 Rand each or 27 Rand each. Their grandfathers or grandmothers have passed on. They're looking now and they've got 50 Kruger Rands. That's like 1.5 million Rand that can set up your family for for life. And that grandfather just kept on putting away. And you don't need a lot of money. You can have a couple of thousand to start. One day we'll get into our new program with Troy Gold, which we brought up, which is, you know, you can even get in with even less. You can put in a couple hundred bucks a month, and then you you can get a card, a Troy Gold card. You can open it up, and you can you've met the boys at Troy Gold. We're doing lots of work with them. Next year is going to be really tremendous. You can accumulate a few hundred rand a month towards gold, and you can use that gold to spend. You can buy a coffee with your gold. Now, so gold now is coming out of the darkness.
This is very exciting. I mean, we've actually we spoke to Dane and Bastiat from Troy Gold a while ago. Those two are making it possible for you, as you say, to pay with gold rather than with rand. So what I did with a bunch of my friends is I made sure they all had the app. And then when we all went for lunch or coffee or dinner, one person would pick up the bill and the rest would pay him in gold. And then you start building up a little gold investment, a little gold reserve, and then we can come to you guys and actually get the coin eventually once you've got enough money on the card. I love it. All right, Rael, we're running out of time, but I hope you guys are all going to get better. The corona is not going to hold you down for long. Enjoy the rest of your holidays, and we will catch up with you in the new year for another season of Collectomania. Very exciting.
We're looking really forward to it. There's going to be some awesome ideas and lots more collectors.
Love it.
We appreciate the good stuff you've been doing for us.
It's been a tremendous, tremendous part of my Monday. It makes it's my favorite thing in the week, actually, to meet these people who have these incredible collections. And I hope we can keep on doing it because there's plenty more to come.
Thanks,
Rael. Nice to see
you,
man.
All the best. Happy New Year, everybody.
All good. There's Rael Demby from the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And what an incredible feature this has been. This has been one of my favorite things on Cliff Central this year.
So interesting, fun, funny, serious, nostalgic, history lesson. It's everything in one.
I've got to go and tidy up and sort out my collections as part of my spring cleaning. So I'm going to be busy with that for a few days. We will see you tomorrow. It is just after 8 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. Have a great Monday. And this is our last week. So, of course, on Friday we'll have our final show. As we will see you on Friday.
See you then.
Very good. And Bulelo and I will join you tomorrow. Have an excellent Monday. Cheers, everybody. Be good and enjoy. Get into the holidays. CliffCentral.com.